Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As I look back on a lifetime, I come to realize that our childhood and where we're raised is unique to each one of us. It offers different experiences that help make who we are. And no two are the same. Even if you grow up right next door to one another, they are different. There are no two the same. So they are precious. The good and the not so good are precious because they are what tend to shape us into who we are. So I'm going to take you back more than just a few years. I was all of maybe 6 or 7 years old. I was born and raised on a dairy farm in southern Wisconsin. And the one thing that always was of interest and that always seemed to be just miraculous in my sight was growth and birth and life. You would plant the crops, you would watch them grow, and you'd harvest them in the fall. But more importantly, it was the living things around you. It was always you had little baby chicks and little baby ducks, and you had kittens, and you had puppies, and you had calves, which I helped to take care of. And it was this miracle of life that was so exciting. Now, my mother was one that got you involved in that at a very, very young age. And I can remember picking at eggshells to help that little duckling or that little chick come out and make life just a little easier. I can remember being there when kittens and puppies were born and taking a warm rag and washing them off and cleaning them and caring for them. And I can remember my mother, never wanting to give up on anything, would find ways to make them warm or try to keep them healthy. As a matter of fact, we had a gas dryer in the house. Now, years back, there was no electronics. You had a pilot light. The pilot light kept the dryer warm. And in my lifetime, there was chickens in there, baby ducklings in there, there were kittens, there were puppies, and at one time, we even had a baby pig in there, trying to keep these things that were struggling to live warm and to keep life alive. The only thing that I didn't get to witness was the birthing of calves. My father at that age seemed to think I was too young for that sort of thing. So any time a cow was ready to give birth, he'd shoo me out of the barn. Well, one day, there wasn't anybody around but me. And this is really the point of this whole story. It was midsummer. It was a beautiful, beautiful summer day with no wind. And there was an old cow that even I knew well out in the pasture. And I saw her lay down to give birth. There wasn't anybody there to stop me. So I ran out and I literally sat down on the ground. And I sat there until this miracle of life took place. And I can tell each and every one of you honestly, I was truly amazed. I was truly amazed at this miracle of life. Things got hectic real quick, okay? Because the cow had laid down right next to the old creek bed. Now, fortunately, that part of it was dried up, but the calf came out and slid right down into the bottom. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm a little guy. How am I going to get this calf out of there? And before you knew it, the cow was up, down taking care of her calf, and within an hour, she walked that calf right out of the creek. And it was truly amazing, truly, truly amazing for someone that age to see that kind of life spring. And can you imagine the look on my father's face when he came home from work and I told him all about it? Well, needless to say, after that, he didn't chase me out of the barn anymore. There was also death. And that was the other thing that helped to shape you. Not all the little chicks and all the little ducks made it, nor did all the little kittens or puppies, and unfortunately, not all the calves. And if they did, the way God arranged things, we live in a perfect world. We live much longer than these. And when they do grow up, we watch them grow, and ultimately, we watch them die. But there was never any death in my youth that could overshadow the miracle and the power of new birth, of life. Nothing. It could never, ever wash that from my mind. And I was truly amazed. The apostles are raised in a world where there is little hope for much of anything. The law was a burden. The Pharisees were no help. People often died long before their times. Babies born at childbirth. There were plagues, there were famines, and many times there was nothing to safeguard against these things. And along comes someone, a man, the Son of God, with a message of hope and love and forgiveness. And he brought this to them. Now, at first, they all thought, well, you know what? He'll be with us a long time. We've got a lot of time to learn all these things. But we have 2,000 years of hindsight. We know how this story ends. Things happen. People die. Jesus was falsely accused, nailed to a cross, and was crucified, died, and was buried. They were destroyed. Their confidence was gone. The message was gone. Nothing mattered anymore because their teacher was gone. Their rabbi was gone. The Son of David was gone. The one that was supposed to come back and take that throne back with swords and spears and shields if necessary. He was gone. Now what do? We hide in fear of our life. We don't know what the next day is going to bring. And yet, the women stay focused. Bless those women. Because they knew they had at least one last responsibility to their Lord. And that was to come and care for his body. So they were the first to hear this great message. Why are you looking for the dead here? He isn't here. He is risen. Remember what he said. And the light goes on, and I can only describe that as amazement. Life where there once was death. And they turn and they tell the story. And yet, for the most part, it falls on deaf ears. Except Peter. Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times. The one who didn't want Jesus to wash his feet, but yet the one that Jesus chose to be the cornerstone of his church, got up and went and looked into the empty tomb and left amazed. What was he thinking? We'll never know. But I'll venture a guess for all of us this morning. He realized that in that deep, dark tomb, something happened that had never happened before. That out of the darkness of that tomb, light sprung. Life sprung. Hope sprung in the darkness of that tomb. Something happened that day that changed everything going forward. And not just for that day, not just for the apostles, not just for the women, but for you and for me. They were amazed. They were amazed at the promise that God kept in sending his Son to die for our sins and yet to rise to give each one of us the hope of everlasting life. That even in death, we no longer fear it because at the end of it, there is light and life in Christ. This is what this represents. That death no longer controls our lives. Will death of this body come? Yes. Will the death of the person that we know, that Bill, George, Harry, Sue, Ann? No. Because in Christ, they will live. And out of death, life again springs forth. Eternal. Every day in our lives. Every day, that's what we live with. Now, the trick is to hold on to that amazement, to hold on to that wisdom, and let that wisdom enrich us and hold us and keep us each and every day of our lives. Not just on Easter Sunday, but to live in the resurrection, to live in the promise of God, the promise he kept, to live it and take it with us each and every day. Because this is a gift unlike no other gift before. It is a gift unlike no other gift that could ever be given. The greatest gift ever known. And this gift was given to all. To you and me. Each year as we come to celebrate, I stand in amazement of the life and the energy that celebrating the resurrection brings. It is my hope and my prayer that as you leave today, you stand thankful, blessed, forgiven, and amazed in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.